every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so God is the one that gives the perfect gift. And of course, He gave us His only begotten Son, and we'll see that later on in the sermon. But every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And God doesn't mind. I read a verse in Sunday school that God, the Bible, and I'm going to paraphrase here, is talking about how, you know, if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, and you know, we're sinners, how much more, the Bible says, does our Heavenly Father, that is not a sinner, love to give good gifts unto us? So He wants you to have a good time. Don't let the devil rob you of joyful times with your family, joyful times of gathering, things like that. But let's just not exclude Jesus, because He was the perfect gift. But every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Now, I'm going to say this not to discourage you. I have a few more points today than I normally do. I usually have 3, 4, that's about it. But I have more than that. So I'm going to go a little faster than normal. All right, so we'll get out at the same time. So, but I have the outline right here for you, those of you that like to take notes. Because you might go, you can't keep up. I got it for you. I got you covered, all right? So I'll give you this at the end of the service. I'll have it on the back row back there if you'd like it. But anyway, every perfect gift. I'm going to give you 3 points of an introduction, and then I don't want to say the number out loud. But anyway, you'll get it. But we see here that in a perfect gift, you have to have perfect timing. Sometimes, you know, Christmas time kind of helps you with the timing. Christmas Day. I remember as a little kid, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have a Christmas at, you know, Rosie and Pawpaw's house, you know, the day of Christmas, or have one at my house first. All right, now let me say it this way. It was always at Granny and Gramps' house Christmas Eve for me. Then it was at my house that morning, and then that afternoon was Rosie and Pawpaw's house, and then if we could throw another one in there. So kids, they don't mind multiple times opening gifts. There's, you know, any time you're opening a gift for a kid is a perfect time. You know, so again, it's not very hard. Sometimes on birthdays, you try to surprise people, or if you're just giving somebody a gift, you're trying that perfect timing. Some of you are very romantic when you proposed, and you planned it all out. I was just like, hey, I found this ring. Would you marry me? Yes, that was it. But anyway, some of you, you know, you put it in some food and she got choked on it. Oh, and then some of you, you know, you bow down on one knee and all that kind of stuff. You're trying to be perfect in your timing. But Galatians 4:4 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law. So God obviously prophesied, or the Bible prophesied, that Jesus would be coming. And it says here, when the fullness of time was come. So in other words, when it was God's timing. There was a star of Bethlehem. There was an announcement of the angel. Obviously, John the Baptist had been, he'll be preaching about it before he comes, you know, as far as an adult in his ministry. So, but when that fullness of time was come, God had that perfect gift. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2 says this, to everything there is a season and a time. There is an every purpose under heaven. So there's a time to be born, verse 2 says, and a time to die. So we see that God's gift, His perfect gift, there was a time for it to be born. And that was Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating that this month. And it was on time and on purpose. But then we talk about Calvary. And it was on time and on purpose. Then around Easter, again, the Easter Bunny tries to steal some of God's glory here on His resurrection day. So we see here it was on time and on purpose. But then He rose again on time and on purpose. And then He's coming back on time and on purpose. So the perfect gift is perfect in its timing. Secondly, it's perfect in its price. Some of you don't look for the perfect time to buy a gift. You look for that perfect price. When it goes on sale. When I can find a coupon. When I can get some Kohl's cash. Or when I can earn some extra points. Things like that. That's when I want to buy. I want to buy it now. Why? Because it's cheap as possible. About this perfect gift that we're talking about, it was free for us. You can't beat that. There's no coupon. It's just free. You don't have to go on a certain day, a Black Friday, or any other time. It's just free. But it did cost something. It cost Jesus His life. 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. So this perfect gift we're talking about today, it was bought and paid for with Jesus' life. I'll give you a couple other verses that gives us that connotation. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, for you were bought with a price. So because of that, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So because I know, none of you ever did this. You opened a gift one day with anticipation and you looked at it and went, oh, that's not what I wanted. I hope you didn't act like that. It's not the right color. All right? It was supposed to be, and if you were at grandparents' house, and your parents were sitting there going, oh. All right? So what we see here, this perfect gift that we're talking about today is Jesus and salvation. But we ought not say, it's not what I wanted. It's not the right color. It says here, therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit if you're saved, and it's supposed to look like God wants it to look, behave like God wants it to look. But then it says also here, in your spirit. In other words, your emotion, your outlook, your facial expression. We ought to be happy about that gift. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says this, you are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. So because Jesus bought us, obviously we ought to serve Him, not serve our friends or serve ourselves or serve the world. So not only was the perfect gift at the perfect time and it had the perfect price, it was free. Romans 5:16 through 18 says this, the free gift for that justification. Justified, never sinned when I got salvation. So the perfect gift was perfect in timing, perfect price, but it also was perfect for all ages. Last night we tried to, we had drawings for the kids' names, and I'm sure that the adults that drew a kid's name, let's say, okay, this kid is a nursery kid, so you're not going to get him an M16, okay, please. All right, but this teenager over here, you're not going to get them a rattle toy or a chew toy. It should be age appropriate. But this perfect gift that we're talking about is for all ages. It doesn't have to be juvenile. It doesn't have to be for a teenager. It doesn't have to be for an adult. It's age appropriate. The perfect gift is perfect for all ages. I'll give you a real quick nutshell. The Bible says that it's perfect for the babies. The babies. Because it says in Isaiah 7:16, for before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good. A lot of people tag this verse with age of accountability. So in other words, that baby doesn't know good and evil. They don't know how to make the choice. They're basically depending on the mom and depending on the dad. They don't know how to make choices. So that baby, according to the Bible, if it passes away, is what the Bible calls safe. I'll give you an example. 2 Samuel 12:23 says this, but now he is dead. This is David speaking. He's committed adultery with Bathsheba. They've had a baby in their adulterous relationship, and the baby passes away. And David says, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? So David's to the point, I can't fast, I can't pray and ask God to keep him from passing away. He's already passed away. But then it goes on to say, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So according to the Bible, that baby that passed away was in heaven. He didn't know good and evil. So babies are safe. It's age appropriate. Then the child can get saved. We talked about several of these that have gotten saved this year. Wow, they did understand. I'm a sinner. There's a price on sin. Jesus paid that price for me. I'm going to accept that gift, that perfect gift. And they got saved. Obviously, a teenager can get saved. An adult can get saved. The Bible says they have to have childlike faith. Sometimes adults, we're smart. We got it all figured out. I'll just get to heaven on my own. I'll work good. I'll do nice things. I'll behave myself. No, we have to be like a child and do what the Bible says. So that perfect gift, by way of introduction, it's got perfect timing. It was the perfect price. And it's age appropriate. It's perfect for all ages. And lastly, it is perfect forever. It is perfect forever. How many of you had this gift? It was your favorite. It was the one you wanted. It was the right color. It was everything you desired. But later on that day, either the batteries ran out or it broke. Oh, man, were you disappointed? This perfect gift never needs to have the batteries replaced. It will never break. It lasts forever. You won't even ever outgrow it. It won't get old. It won't break. It's got a lifetime warranty. And then they come out with, there's a limited lifetime warranty. They'll find a loophole not to buy it for you again. All right. But this gift doesn't have a limited lifetime warranty. If you get it, you get saved. You're saved forever. Read you three verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave that perfect gift of His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You won't have to die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. That perfect gift lasts forever. John 3:36, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent him, or sent me, hath everlasting life. So as far as introduction on this perfect gift, we see it's perfect in its timing. It's perfect in its price. It's perfect for all ages, and it's perfect because it lasts forever. That brings me to my outline. All right, so here we go. We're going to go. Number one, it's perfect in its direction. It's perfect in its direction. Some of you will get a gift, and hopefully your parents will already have it put together. Why? Because they followed the instructions. It won't work. Okay? Some of them have to be diagnostic. They have to be zeroed in. You have to do all kinds of stuff, and you better follow the instructions or it's not going to work. So this perfect gift, obviously, has got a perfect set of directions. It's called the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 7, it says here, the law of the Lord, talking about that book, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple. So the Bible says that our directions right there are perfect. Some of you might get some directions, and even in America, one side of them will be English, perfect. You flip it over, Spanish, not so perfect for me. I do not hablo inglés or whatever they say. No hablo, can't even do that part. All right. See, taco, burrito, that's about my limit. All right. So that would not be perfect instructions for me. So, of course, we have it preserved in the English language for us English speaking people. The Word of God is perfect. Our directions are perfect. Perfect for what? Faith. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It's perfect. Perfect in what? To create the new birth. That new birth has to be created with this book in mind. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, or saved, or on my way, or getting salvation. Again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it gives me my faith that I have to have. It creates a new birth in me when I get saved. But then it causes me to grow. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. So these directions are perfect on how to get faith, on how to get saved, and then how to grow in my salvation. Isaiah 28:13, but the Word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So everything that we need to grow that new gift inside of us is found right here in this book. 1 Corinthians 13:9-10, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, talking about that book, that which was in part is done away with. So in other words, back in the day, when Jesus was born, there wasn't a Bible to say, but there was an angel that came and said, hey, behold, there's going to be a star, follow it over there, and it'd be that's part of it. Then there was John the Baptist, said, hey, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was prophesying. That was part of it. We have it all now. It's perfect. There's nothing else to have to be added to it, take it away from it. And it, by the way, the Bible says not to do that. It's perfect in its directions. Number two, it's perfect in understanding. I hope that I'm explaining it today so you can understand it. That this gift is perfect. Jesus Christ is perfect. What God gave us is perfect. The instructions are perfect. But it gives us that understanding. In Luke 1:3 it says this, it seemed good for me also, having had perfect understanding. Of course, this is Luke speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's talking to the people. And he said, look, I had perfect understanding. And what he meant by that was, let me go ahead and finish the verse. Of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So what Luke was saying was, I had perfect understanding. And what he was talking about was, I had Jesus right here. If I had a question, I just asked Jesus. If I had a misunderstanding, I just had Jesus. If I needed some strength, I just had Jesus. I had perfect understanding. And that's what the Bible says, that He left this. When He went to heaven, He gave us the Holy Spirit, and He left this for us. So we can have a perfect understanding of that gift. So having had perfect understanding, He's like, I just followed Jesus. I just watched Jesus. I just asked Jesus anything. I just listened to Jesus. Now what do? We just go to that book. Proverbs 4:5 says here, get wisdom, and while you're getting some wisdom, Get understanding. Proverbs 4:5. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get some understanding. How do we get understanding? By reading it. And God will let our brain and the Holy Spirit help us get that understanding. You go to Sunday school, get the Word of God taught to you. You go to church, get the Word of God preached to you. You go to Bible study, you study the Bible. That's how we get understanding. And it's perfect. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches. All right, so man can just get up and say, this is what I think, or this is my philosophy. No, we're supposed to teach the Word of God. And it goes on to say, but which, as the Holy Ghost teaches, compare spiritual with spiritual. So in other words, men or mankind is good at saying, okay, this is bad and this is good. But the Bible and the Holy Spirit goes right past good and right past bad and gives you what's best, what's perfect. A perfect understanding of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So first of all, we see here it's perfect in its direction. We see that secondly, it's perfect in its understanding. We don't have to watch a YouTube video. I mean, if you're going to cook something, there's a YouTube video on how to cook it. If you're going to fix something mechanically, there's a YouTube video on how to do it. If you're going to construct something with construction, guarantee there's a YouTube video on it. You kill a deer and want to clean it? YouTube video. If you want to grind it up, YouTube video. There's a YouTube video for everything. Except for this, we have to have the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God, and it will give us that understanding. So, the gift that we're talking about this morning, the perfect gift, Jesus Christ, it has perfect directions. It can give you perfect understanding. And why do you need perfect understanding? To find the third thing. The Bible says there's a perfect will of God. There's a perfect will of God. He gave us the directions. He promises He'll give us that understanding. Why? So we can find that perfect will of God. We saw this morning that John the Baptist in Sunday school, his will was to go around proclaiming that Jesus was here. Behold, the Lamb of God. That was his will. That was God's will. And we saw in that lesson, if he hadn't have done that, he wouldn't have done what God created him to do. God created us to do something. He wants us to find that perfect will. Listen to what Romans 12:2 says. Be not conformed to this world. That's definitely not what God created you for. Now, the devil wants you to conform to it. Look like it, sound like it, go and do what it does. But God says, don't. Don't conform to this world. Don't look like this world. Don't sound like this world. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that which is good and acceptable and, here it is, perfect will of God. So we're supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to be renewed. How? By reading that book, hearing it taught, hearing it preached, studying it, and let the Holy Spirit teach it. And it'll conform us into what God created us to be. So study the Bible. It's a perfect Bible. Understand it perfectly. And it will help you find the perfect will of God. Colossians 4:12 says this, labor fervently for you in prayers. This is Paul talking to the church at Colossae. He said, I'm praying for you fervently with all my being. Why? That you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Paul knew that every person at that church at Colossae, God created them to find that perfect will. So Paul, he said, your parents are praying for you. Your church is praying for you. Your pastor's praying for you. I'm praying for you. The Bible even says that Jesus prays for us. What are they praying for? To find the perfect will of God. We've seen three things so far. We've seen the perfect direction, the perfect understanding, and the perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, plain as day in the Bible. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's kind of a big word, sanctification. That basically means we need to be set apart for God's use. That's God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, how many things? Everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. So we're supposed to give thanks for the things that we like and we wanted, but we're supposed to give thanks for the things that we didn't like and we didn't want. Why? Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His mind's higher than our mind. God realized that we needed it. So we ought to give thanks for that. So what will that do? We're talking about the perfect gift, the Son of God. He gave us perfect directions to have perfect understanding, so that we can find the perfect will of God. And here it is. Then we ought to have perfect manner about us. Our way of life. The Bible says that even a child is known by his doings. If I'd have called out all those children's names a while ago, when I said their names, something would have come in here. Silly, beautiful, mean, all right, hard-headed, things like that. Something would have popped into your mind just by hearing their name. That's what the Bible says. Here's my instruction, so you can have an understanding, So you can find the will of God, so you will have a testimony. So there will be some manner about you. All of us have been taught to have manners. That Paul and Rosie, that Christmas Eve, we always had a dinner before we had to open the presents. I wanted to skip the dinner. All right, let's go right past the dinner, right to the tree, open presents. Yes, great evening. No, we had to go sit down. And not only did we have to sit down, we had to sit up. We had to put a napkin in our lap. And we couldn't put the elbow on the table. Or Paw would take his butter knife, whack, right on my elbow. Ooh. Right? So not only did I have to wait to open my presents, I had to sit and not, you know, scarf it down like a hog. I had to eat, cut my little meat and all that stuff. No elbows on the table. I had to have manners. Definitely don't burp at the table. All right? Oh, my goodness. But that's what manners. That's what you do. I say it all the time. I'll be in the store and somebody will say thank you or ask me a question. Yes, ma'am. Don't call me ma'am. I'm sorry. I mean, I cannot not say yes, ma'am. If I just say yes or yep, I get the heebie-jeebies. Why? Because my parents drilled that into my head. Manners. You say yes, ma'am. You say no, ma'am. You say yes, sir. You say thank you. I'll run, open the door for somebody, and they'll go on in, not say a word. I get the heebie-jeebies again. My flesh wants to hit them in the backside with the door. You could say thank you. It's just manners. It's the way about. So God says here, I give you the Bible directions so you can have an understanding, so you can find the will of God, so then you can have manners. Behave yourself like a Christian. Acts 22:3 says this, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law, the Bible, of the fathers, what your parents taught you. And then it says here, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. So in other words, again, when we're wanting to do right, we like saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. When we're wanting to do right, we say thank you and please. When we're wanting to do right, we have manners about us. So when we're excited about reading those directions and understanding it and finding God's perfect will, there's a manner about us that's excited. I won't take time to read all these verses, but there's a turn of verses that say this, in like manner, in the same manner, after this manner, and as His, talking about that perfect gift, manner was. Tons of verses in there that say, behave this way, behave this way, behave this way. Jesus had a perfect manner. Matthew 8:27, but the men marveled, saying this, what manner of man is this, that even the seas or the wind and the seas obey Him? There was just an awe about Jesus, a manner, the way He behaved. And He said, I'm the perfect gift. I give you perfect directions. I'll give you perfect understanding. You find my perfect will, and I'll help you with your perfect manners. And this goes right along with it. The Bible says there's a perfect way. Psalm 101:2 says this, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Psalm 101:6, my eyes shall be upon the faithfulness of the Lord, that they may dwell with me, he that walketh in a perfect way. So we ought to have a perfect way about us as well. Now, in a nutshell, real quick, you get the perfect gift, you read His perfect directions, you have a perfect understanding of His perfect will, and behave in a manner and in a way, and this is what you'll have. You'll have perfect peace. Perfect peace. God, we said this a while ago, if we being evil know how to give our kids good gifts, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give us that live right? Again, paraphrased. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because Thou trustest in him. So that person that mind is stayed on God. Here we're offered a opportunity to do right or wrong. If my mind is stayed on God, how would He have me respond to this? I respond the right way, I'll have perfect peace. I respond the wrong way, I'm not going to have peace. I'm going to be in turmoil. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Proverbs 3:24, then thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Jeremiah 31:26, my sleep was sweet unto me. So if we do the right thing, we behave ourselves in the right manner and behave ourselves in the right way, when we go to sleep that night, we'll have perfect peace. Perfect peace. Last night, I went to sleep quick. Two reasons. I was wore slap out. Number two, I took some NyQuil. Phew. All right, I was out. And my sleep was perfect. I didn't toss and turn all night long saying, you know, I'm a preacher of the gospel, but I went out and did this, this, and this, and this. It was out of the will of God. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. No. I laid down knowing that I had done exactly what God wanted me to do that day. And I had perfect peace. I had sleep. Sweet sleep. So, not only do we have perfect peace, we'll have perfect fellowship. This is my last point, and I'll go into conclusion. Perfect fellowship. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 1:10. And last night, I think we had here at our church perfect fellowship. Why? Because we had perfect food. We had perfect friends. We had a perfect time plan. We had perfect fellowship. But 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this, "Now, I beseech you, brethren," you save people, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all," so in other words, nobody's excluded from it, any saved person that's a member of any church in this world, "ye all," says here, "speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." How does this happen? Because a perfect Savior gives us perfect directions, we get a perfect understanding, we find the perfect will of God, we behave ourselves in a perfect way, in a manner, in a way, and we have that perfect peace, and we have perfect fellowship, and there's nobody griping, and nobody arguing, and nobody having disagreements. Why? Because all of us have found that. That's exactly what God wants to do. Now, there's churches all over this world today, and I guarantee you there's somebody sitting on this side of a church and somebody sitting on this side of the church that mad at each other. They took my spot. They know I parked there. I mean, we just created a whole bunch of other spots. Just pick another one, all right? But they know I parked there. I've been parking there since Jesus came the first time, all right? When He was born, all right? Goodness gracious. Or they know that I like this team. And their team beat my team last night, so I'm mad. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants there to be division. Okay, they know. I mean, this church, I don't know what type of toilet paper's back there. We didn't vote on it. All right? But there are some churches today, we voted on Charmin so we could squeeze it. And they did this, you know, double quilted northern stuff, you know, rah, and church splits over toilet paper. But this is what we're saying. If somebody finds, you know, the perfect gift, gets those directions, gets the understanding, finds the will of God, lives in a perfect way, has that perfect peace, you can have perfect fellowship. Because it really don't matter what kind of toilet paper it is. It really don't matter where I parked. It really don't matter, you know, who's took my seat. Okay, it says here, God wants us to have that perfect fellowship, perfectly joined together. How do you do it? Speak the same thing. I deserve hell. Jesus saved me. If we all have that opinion, we're going to get along great. The same mind. I'm just trying my best to follow those instructions and to find the will of God and live like God wants me to do. We have the same mind and the same judgment. Please forgive me because I mess up a lot. Pray for me because I need God's help. We got that same judgment. So if we do that, we can see here that if we do that, I'm going to go through it one more time before we're finished. We got the perfect gift, Jesus Christ. He gives us the perfect directions, the Bible. We get a perfect understanding if we hear it taught, preached, and we study it. Then that'll help us find the will of God, perfect will of God. Then we'll behave ourselves perfectly within that will of God with our manner and our way. And oh man, what perfect peace we have and perfect sleep we have. Then we have that perfect fellowship. This is what will happen. In conclusion, we'll have a perfect man or a perfect mankind, and we'll be able to stand before Him perfectly. That should be the goal. Because one day the Bible says we're all going to give an account. So we're going to be in line, we're going to step forward, and there's going to be Jesus, the perfect gift. We're not going to give account for our sins. He's paid for all those. He's taken care of all those. But He's going to give... Did you read the directions? Do you have understanding of them? Did you find my will? Did you live like I wanted you to in a perfect manner, in a perfect way? Well, no, sir. Did you have peace? No, I couldn't hardly sleep. I had to take drugs to go to sleep or drink NyQuil. I had to do all kinds of stuff to have peace. Did you get along with everybody? No, I was always mad at somebody or bent out of shape. We're going to give an account for those. But one day, my goal, and I hope your goal is to stand there not perfect in myself, but perfect because I've done all those things. Listen to what the Bible says in Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach. Any preacher that's worth his salt today is talking about the perfect gift, not the perfect preacher. I'm not saying, hey, you just do what I do and you'll be all right, because I got it all figured out. No. You love Him, you serve Him, and you listen to Him, and you'll get it all figured out. It says here, by whom? The preacher, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present, kind of like a present, every man perfect in Jesus Christ. I want my loved ones to open that gift. That's exactly what I wanted. It's the right brand. It's the right color. I mean, its batteries are included. Woohoo! I don't have to wait for an hour for you to run to the Dollar General and get some batteries. It's great. It's perfect. But I also want to be able to stand before Him one day. Again, and be perfect, not because of myself, but all the things that He gave us in that perfect gift. All was included. It's all there. Colossians 4:12 says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Jesus Christ, this saved guy in the church, salute you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So this is why we need that perfect gift, so we can get all these perfect things. So Jesus gave Himself as that present, and it was the perfect gift. It's never going to wear out. It's never going to break. It's never going to need new batteries. It's the perfect gift. And so what we're supposed to do is give Him a gift back. I talked about this last night at the devotion. Most kids, they just won't. Again, that's nothing wrong with that. That's just what a kid is. But as we start maturing, we want to give. And I talked about kids even getting that way. I remember thinking that as a little kid. My mom and dad gave me this, or my wife gave me this. I want to be able to give them something back. Jesus gave us all eternal life if we'll accept it. I want to give Him back what? A perfect man with a perfect stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, I'll have this outline on the back there for you. We're going to stand. Brother Derek's going to lead an invitation song, and then he's going to do the invitation as well. But if you just like to come today and present a present to Jesus. Jesus, this year I'm going to give you a person that's going to read the instructions, that's going to find your will, that's going to live in a perfect way with your help. Brother Derek, those of you getting baptized can go get changed.
The pastor spoke this morning about God being the greatest gift giver. You know, He gave His Son so you and I wouldn't have to go to hell one day. The Bible says we're all sinners. We all come short of God's glory this morning. And if you need to be saved this morning, the altar's open. Come forward. Somebody will take a Bible this morning, and they'll show you how you can know for sure that you're saved and your sins are forgiven, that you're going to heaven one day, and you'll have that perfect peace that the pastor spoke of. Maybe you have a burden this morning. Come and give it to the Lord. Maybe you've not been living right. Maybe you're backslidden. Today's the day, the Bible says.